Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled Understanding the GAP Gap is presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion.
Today's New Testament scripture reading comes to us from the book of Romans, chapter 13. And listen to these words as we have listened to the Old Testament in the book of, Leviticus? If I was right? Yes, I did say Leviticus. Chapter 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is from God. Except that which is from God. Think about that. The authorities that exist have been appointed by God. But you just don't know how evil they are. You don't know what they've done. This and that and the other thing. And we might cry about it. But you know what? God raises one up to accomplish his purpose in this earth. Always remember that. Consequently, whoever resists authority is opposing what God has set in place. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the one in authority? Do you want to be unafraid of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will have his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not carry the sword in vain. He is God's servant, an agent of retribution to the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to one to authority. Not only to avoid punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. They paid taxes back in Paul's day. Can you believe that? For the authorities are God's servants who devote themselves to their work. Pay everyone what you owe him. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Be indebted to no man or no one except to one another in love. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this one decree. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the occasion. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day has drawn near. So let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. There's a lot being said there by the Apostle Paul. And today's message I bring to you from the Romans Road, 13th Avenue, apartments 1 through 14, just bringing that to you. But today, last week, I talked to you about getting into the gap, living in the gap. What is the gap? That the acceptable and the perfect will of God. In the King James Version, it's rendered the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And I've taken that, and you saw the sweatshirt I wore last week said GAP. How many of you ever seen one of those shirts with GAP on it? You know, the gap, you know, great fine fashion wear, if you would. But it you can use that as a springboard into the gospel message, as you bring Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 into light. The good, what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And that's where we all want to be. That's where we all ought to be walking, in that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. How can I know your will, O God, for my life? We can know it. We can certainly know it. And it's how we live and the way we live. And you know, we all cry, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I love God. He loves me. I'm doing well. Hallelujah. Never mind anybody else. No, we need to do as God has bidden us to do. The Old Testament is no less important today as it was way back when. Why? Because it was teaching the Israelites to live by faith. We are all the children of Abraham as we come to God in faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Am I right? So it's in faith we walk, in faith we live and move and breathe and have our being in faith. Without faith, again, it is impossible to please God. So we all need to come to God by faith, through faith, and believe what he has said for us to do. And why? Because it's not us working ourselves. You know, it says, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. By faith. By faith is how I work my faith out, is how I walk it each and every day, trusting God, looking to him for his mercies. Now, the Apostle Paul, and I brought to you in the gospel reading, the call to worship, I wanted to bring to you about, you know, do not avenge yourselves. You know, so often we, you know, think it's okay when someone does us wrong to spew out angry words or violent words or vile things. We just are, when we are wronged, we want to lash out. And God says, no, don't do this. Why? Because do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It doesn't work the righteousness of God. And the Apostle Paul is talking to us about righteousness, a righteousness that does not come of ourselves, but comes of the Lord, which he provided to us through the death, the burial, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon that cross. And when he rose again from the dead, what did he do? He brought many sons unto glory because he imputed to us the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Think on that. Now it says, he says, don't avenge yourselves. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So now, when someone is making you angry, I mean, really just make your blood boil kind of a deal, whether it's your son, your daughter, your spouse, your enemy, it says, do not look for revenge or vengeance. But look to the Lord. See, Jesus didn't revile again when he was punched, when the hairs of his face were plucked out, when he was spit upon and beaten so unmercilessly. What did he do? He looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. He committed himself to the Lord, who is the righteous judge. Not once did he revile. Not once did he speak in a way that tried to take vengeance. But he gave himself over to those who would smite him, those that would beat him, whip him, and just unmercilessly torment him. When you think about that, and now it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, God knows everything you're going through. He's not surprised. He gives you that as a test, to test your heart. You see, we need to be devoid of self and put self aside, die to self and live unto God. But you don't understand what they did to me. You see, your heavenly Father knows. You see, how do we overcome evil? We overcome the evil by doing good. Overcome evil by doing good, doing a good deed to that one that doesn't deserve it from you. You can't, oh my goodness, do you know what they did to me? I'm going to sue them. Stop lashing out in self and start living your faith out. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You see, you give place to God when you let go of that what you believe to be rightfully yours. You know, I have a right to be angry about this. Please, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, when we take it up in our own hands, we're playing God. We're playing God. Lord, I'm Lord here. I'm sitting on the throne of my heart, and I'm going to get them back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know, how many movies, how many shows we've watched where, you know, adversary comes and provokes, and then the one that's been provoked goes back and brings retribution by killing or something to that nature, and it seems in our minds it's just. But is it? Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You see, when we give place to God, and see, there's a lot to be said here. When we give place to God to work, no matter how we've been offended, we allow God to work in the situation, and you will be surprised what God will do for you when you surrender. You're never going to know what he'll do for you until you surrender that part, that angry part, that, Lord, I'm just so angry about this. But how ought we to live? By faith. By faith. By faith. So everyone must submit himself to the authorities, the governing authorities, no authority except that which is from God. And this is really neat. When you want to know the will of God for your life, part of that is in submitting to authorities. You know, God sets authorities over you for a reason, not for the individual's selfish gain, but for God to allow and direct your life in the way that it needs to go. As we learn to submit one to another and submit to authorities, whether, you know, let's face it, when we're driving down the road and we want to get somewhere quick, we want to do, you know, it's easy to do 65 and, oh, it's a 35 mile an hour, so we want to do 65 because, hey, I got to get there. But, you know, we submit to the law, you know, even in that little thing, what are we doing? We're submitting to God because the authorities have established a rule to help us, to help everybody to get where they're going in a safe and reasonable manner. You know, and sometimes we don't like to do that because we're in a hurry. What happens when we're in a hurry? We make waste. We end up wasting the day because when we, you know, we're not going to get there necessarily any quicker. It's going to hold us back. But when we allow God to work in our lives, we submit to authorities that are, why? Because we want to honor God and let up on that gas pedal. Let up on that gas pedal. Allow God to work. And if an authority has come to bring a judgment to you, then allow God to use that to further his will in your life. You can know what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God as you surrender to him. See, it's all about you and I surrendering to his will, not ours. Because our will, let's face it, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You are working the righteousness of God as you submit and surrender, allowing God to work on your behalf. And if you will allow God to work on your behalf, he will take up your righteous cause. You bring it to him how? You bring it to him in prayer. You take time to go before the Lord in a place of prayer and hide yourself in under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, you put a hedge of protection around yourself when you submit to the authority reigning over you. Husbands and wives the same, children the same. God gave us authorities to govern our lives that we might live long upon the earth. His desire is that we would all prosper and be well and prosper in him, in righteousness, in right living. Because as we live right before the Lord, what happens? We allow God to work in the earth, and others will see our testimony, and they will give God the glory, because they're going to see our good works, and they're going to see that we don't react as per se the world reacts. See, we need to surrender. Rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. And as we submit one to another, and we pay our fair share of taxes, and boy, I'll tell you, some days that's ouch, because you know how hard it is to make the wages we need to meet all the obligations we have. Sometimes it's like, ouch, and it's just so hard. But you know, if you were faced on a good night and you were with your friends and you were out and you were doing well, you could easily, you know, it's easy to fork over a few dollars extra for that extra piece of that extra part of the meal, if you would, or extra dessert or something, or bring a different drink or something to the table. You would gladly, okay, sure, let us have that. And so what you've got to do is catch your heart. It's the position of the heart. It's the position of the heart. It's the position of your heart in your giving. In our giving, you know, give and it shall be given. How's it going to be given to me? As I give. As I give, I allow God to work. I'm giving place to him. As I give to God what is rightfully his. And I give to, you know, be a cheerful giver. Let your giving be, you know, smile when you give. Give, you ought to be the best tipper. You ought to be the one that does, because why? Your source, your resource is not you, it's God. And as we bless others, you're going to reap that, because you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. So love, you know, fulfills that law. In other words, love does no wrong to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So when you love your neighbor, even when they've crossed the line, so to speak, and they've done you wrong, I can't believe they did that. Oh my goodness. It's so quick. We're so quick to justify our anger. And yet God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. The things that happen in your life, you've got to allow God that place to work, because that's how you're living in faith. You're not living in fear. You're living in faith. You're not living in fear of what you may lose. You're living in faith that what you may gain in him. And God is calling us to live the higher plane, if you would. But we must choose each and every day how we're going to live for him. Is my life matter? Yes, it does. Does God know what I'm going through? Yes, he does. Is he surprised? He's bigger than any person that does you wrong. He's bigger than any situation that you may find in your life as we surrender to him and give to God what is rightfully his. We can allow God to work in our midst. And I love that, you know. And what does it say? This last part of the verse, the chapter here. The day is near. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Wake up from our slumber. How ought we to live in this day? If Paul is saying to the church, the day, you know, the night is nearly over, the day is drawing near, so let us lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light, let us behave decently as in the daytime. The part I wanted to say, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. The hour, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Think about that. This was Paul way back in the day, in the year of Rome was doing well in the earth, if you would. But Rome has come and it's gone. We feel the effects, per se, of some of the things of Rome, I'm sure, still. But they as a nation, of course, they broke apart. It broke apart. The Roman Empire broke down. And he was saying this at that time. The day is spent. How much more of that day is spent in our lives? Being we are here where we are in this day, and I believe to be the end of days. I believe to be in that place where we'll see the return of Christ upon the earth. You know, I look at what's going on in the earth and I tremble, and yet I'm rejoicing because I know my Heavenly Father is in charge. I rejoice because he's not surprised by these things. He orchestrated these things, because all things that are because of him. Without him, there was nothing. Remember that. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, you know, there was nothing without him. There was nothing without him. And because he spoke, these things came into being. See, God is outside of time and material as we see it, because those things which are seen are temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. And God is outside of all of this that we deal with, and yet he tells us how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to understand what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God for our lives. How ought we to live is what we need to ask ourselves, and every day challenge ourselves to walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. Every day working it out, believing God, trusting God, taking time to be in his presence, taking time to be in his word. I had the privilege of listening to the scriptures. I'm actually listening to them in Hebrew, the book of Genesis in Hebrew. And do I get it? Nope, I don't. But I'm just listening to it and letting it build my spirit, man. Because the first Adam in me, it doesn't get it, but the second Adam, who lives by the Spirit of the living God, the one that's been born again, not by the flesh, but by the will of God, that born again spirit in me receives that. And there's just something about listening and hearing the Word of God in its original language. And I'm like, help me, Lord. And it's just refreshing. It's just refreshing. Why? Because I want to hear the voice of my Heavenly Father. I want to understand the Hebrew. I do. I'm taking a course on that. I'm trying to to get it all in. And I hear a word here and there, Elohim, Adonai, you know, all of these. I get it, you know, but God, how ought we to live? Will of God for our lives. I challenge each one of us to live in a manner that is pleasing to Him, not to ourselves, but to Him. And why? Because His will be done in the earth. You know, as it is in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we act in that manner and we honor God at His word and we conduct ourselves accordingly, we are living in a righteous way. We are living according to His will and not our own. We've got to put away self and personal wrath. You know, there are people that have done me wrong in my little life, real bad, but I have found God to be faithful when I surrendered that to Him, when I gave it up to Him. I said, Lord, you take it. Lord, I forgive them. It doesn't matter. I forgive them. Love them. And I chose to love instead of hate. I chose to give instead of get. And by living in this way, I find God is faithful. He is so faithful to us. Let us pray. Let's just bow our head and close our eyes, if you would, at this time, as Julie comes to the piano. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for Romans chapter 13. Lord, I ask that you would help us, each one, to understand what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God before you for our lives. I pray that you would touch each one within the sound of my voice, and that each one would receive the fullness that is only found in you. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you all the praise in Jesus' precious holy name.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation, entitled Understanding the GAP Gap, was presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.